The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you. Weekend edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, 80s action star Colton Stone. Follow us on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone, at Schmidt _ Radio. We are loaded up this morning. The rewind about Husker standout and the pride of Ord, smiling all things Nebraska basketball. Andy Markowski.
He's good.
Will be with us. He's phenomenal.
He's got very good insight.
He has got tremendous takes because he's coached, still coaches, but he coached under Dan Dockich for a while.
Yep.
And was part of those glory years towards the tail end of the knee era.
Good player.
So we'll hear from Andy Markowski on Husker Hoops as they get ready for the roadie to Sioux Falls. And a week in between time to knock out finals and acquire some team illness. So that's an issue. College football playoffs been on the discussion block all week long. We'll get into that. But what's dominated the last 48 hours has been Husker volleyball. I love watching it. I don't know it like Brandon Vogel or Jacob Padilla.
Yeah.
Or Derek Peterson.
I do a little bit, okay, only because I'm a Bellevue West Thunderbird.
And is Bellevue West a dominant volleyball program?
When I was there, yes, because that was right during the sweet spot of the Pettit era.
Okay.
Right? And that's when the club volleyball started taking off.
So it was kind of born and grew.
And I want to say, I could be wrong here, but I think they won state all 4 years I was there.
Okay.
So, and that was like a thing. So, like, people went to the volleyball games as much as they went to the basketball games. So we saw a lot of it.
Sure.
You know?
And
I took one of them chicks to prom.
Did you?
Yeah. But anyways, I don't want to go, you know, so, I don't want to make it about that.
708, one of them chicks to prom.
Well, you know what's funny about it? Now, and again.
So there we go. We always try and come up with T-shirt slogans because Hail Varsity is in the business of doing T-shirts. And we came up with lifting weights and crushing steaks because Nebraska is going to get bigger, stronger, faster. And the training table and Zach Duvall. So
yeah, and that almost rhymes.
I hope that gets well. It works.
Yeah.
So I hope it gets put into circulation at some point. But I think I took one of them chicks to prom would not be offensive at all.
Well, you know what's cool about it is, and then we stayed friends.
Hold on. I want the prom story layout about the time Kranak got to spend time with the volleyball player.
Well, no. Well, hold on. She ended up walking on and playing for Nebraska. She was an all-state player. And so when she finally came to Nebraska, there was like Angie Oxley, Kim Behrens. You might remember some of those names. And then Nikki. And me and
Nikki.
Me and,
what's Nikki's last name?
Hank. And me and my roommates.
Your roommates were. You didn't take her over there, did you?
No. But we just, you know, we saw a thing for sand volleyball.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Like, hey, let's sign up, you know? And I just asked Nikki, I'm like, hey, is there any chance you guys would want to play? She's like, absolutely. So we had...
You had a freaking ringer.
Listen to this, dude. Seriously, it was awesome. And, you know, me and my roommates are all spanned between 5'8", 5'10". At the time, we had eaten much less carbs and fat.
But still had the camel hard pack rolling.
But we were doing okay physically, right? We were a lot better off, more spry at the time. And, you know, like 18, 19, whatever. And so our sand volleyball team was us three dudes with just moderate athleticism between 5'8 and 5'10 with Angie Oxley, Kim Behrens, and Nikki Hank, who would go on to win national championships at Nebraska. Now, the season was during the summer, right? Mm. So, I mean, we just rolled everybody, right? And it was sort of the role reversal. Like, whenever you get on those co-ed volleyball teams, it's usually, you know, you get the tall dudes up front, and, you know, the women are bumping and serving and setting, and that's about it. Total role reversal, right? Like, we just kind of, like, bumped and got out of the way and let them do work, right? And they just crushed everybody, undefeated all year. Then, freaking training camp opened for them, and they had to quit. Right as the playoffs were starting.
So you're the favorite, and then all of a sudden you're a first-round casualty.
Yeah, then we have to we have to scramble and find just some random ladies, and they were terrible.
So how did you go recruit? Did you pull a Jim Carrey and put the vibe out by the bar?
It was one of my buddy's girlfriends came on, and then a couple of her friends, and you know, nobody was taller than 5'10", and we were just, you know, and then we got bounced in the first round.
I want to go back to prom.
We were undefeated.
I want to go back to prom.
What?
No, I just, tell me about your prom night.
I don't want to, it was a prom. You know, I had a nice tux,
No, but did you take her to a nice meal?
Where'd
you go?
I think it was kind of a group meal thing.
Right, we did that.
At the time. Yeah, I can't remember. Spezia, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know.
Did you do the post-prom, or did you guys go to a post-prom party?
I don't
want to
get into all that on the show, Chris. I don't want to get into all that.
Oh, you're good.
This is getting...
Husker volleyball.
Did not expect to go there this morning.
Incredible comeback. They were down 0-2, and it's not just that they were down 0-2, it's who they were down 0-2 to. And you have...
Man, there's a lot of twos happening.
Yeah, well, it was...
And they were number
deuces,
two, weren't
they? Deuces wild, man, with just the way Nebraska focused and came back and the elements attached to this. You have Illinois, one of the best teams in the country. You have the Know Your Enemy type deal because of Illinois' coach being
Thomas,
a Nebraska disciple.
Yep.
And just the talent level. I mean, you had somebody very, very comparable to Nebraska. I mean, they'd split in the regular season, and Quaid is who I was thinking of because she had 25 kills. She's awesome.
Did just you see her incredible facial expressions?
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the first three, she is loose. She is just happy. She is crushing Nebraska. And then it just started puckering and getting tighter and tighter and tighter.
The pressure.
That is an amazing... Brandon Vogel just put out the perfect tweet. You know, a man who writes several words regularly.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, he tweeted out, "Volleyball is tense." It's like, yeah. Yes, it is. I mean, that's a really cool sport to watch. Really cool sport to watch.
It is. And with what Nebraska's accomplished, with what they've got rolling... From the Pettit era,
the nerves,
to
man.
Coach Cook and the live or die reality per point.
They got so many, they got nerves.
And you've got so many casual, you have a ton of diehard volleyball fans.
Of course. It's a great volleball state.
It's incredible. And
like
the depth of knowledge
about volleyball here is ridiculous.
What I don't know, and Vogues does, he did the book with John Cook, and the ability to get your offense going and how you set your defense.
Yeah, there's a lot happening there that we don't even have any intricacies
there, because I get a zone blitz. I understand when you do a stunt on the defensive line to confuse the offensive line. I get, you know, where the offensive lineman, the center, and the guard need to be on a screen pass. I get all the work there, but the movement and communication is phenomenal. And
bringing in Harris,
then you go execute.
Bringing in Harris for that one rotation on the right side, just for one play. You know, she's like a specialist where she comes in.
Here's our window.
Yeah,
go attack.
There is a ton of strategy happening there. And then Nicklin Hames.
Yes.
My goodness.
No more.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought Jazz Sweet, for as little as she played.
Very, very
super efficient.
Economical.
Oh my God. I think she had 9 kills on 20 swings, something like that. And she was a huge difference in that game too. And then Fecky, come on now. Fecky gets that glare and you're just kinda like, you might want to back up.
No, she's locked in, and Illinois did a pretty good job of defending her.
Mm-hmm. For a while.
She, for a while, and then she did what she does.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, I was looking up afterwards, I was looking up Nebraska's, like, numbers, individual numbers, and I don't even think Fecky's in the top 50 in terms of percentage and all that. Like, she's really not. Like, Nebraska does not overwhelm you with offense, but they're pretty damn persistent, and they're pretty solid all the way around. And you heard Thomas after the game just talk about the way they defend. Which that is the one part of the sport we can all fathom and we can all understand how a very good athlete like Alexi Sun can get up, just smack the hell out of the ball, get a kill. Like, you can relate with that. I do not understand at all, and from playing the little bit I've played, when you got a screamer coming at you and you can just bump it up delicately, perfectly in the air to pass, like that. Like, that skill is nuts. It's crazy. Like, how do you do that? How does the ball just not go flying into the rafters or every time, you know, like,
or smoke you?
Oh, and Nebraska does that part of it so well.
Sure.
So well. They control the most ridiculous. I mean, how fast are those things going? I know this is like a very amateur volleyball discussion I'm talking about right now, and I know college teams and high school teams all over the place are able to dig out balls. I understand that, but the consistency with which Nebraska does that is ridiculous. Maloney, Hames herself, my goodness, really good at
that. That first touch, so important to get your offense going, right? I mean, what type of rhythm do you get when you are setting up to try and return and get the score? But Nebraska, Stanford tonight. Stanford is huge, athletic, tough.
Yep.
And we'll talk with Brandon Vogel coming up here in about 50 minutes. Get his take on Nebraska volleyball, some Husker recruiting, all things Big Red. College football playoff was a big topic of discussion. Friend of the show, Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic, had her story. She was able to talk to several folks in power spots within the Big Ten, specifically Barry Alvarez, Gordon Gee, who's now at West Virginia, but for a long time was at Ohio State. You have Big 12 members. And there's two points of discussion. One, you know, the idea was floated a week ago by 24/7 that there were some people with knowledge that Oklahoma and Texas may be in play for a move. They may look at the Big Ten. The other side of it is what do you do when it comes to the college football playoff and expansion? And the outcry is very loud. It's not been from Jim Delaney, but it's been from Barry Alvarez and others that it's time to expand, because here is the reality you're facing.
Who didn't see that coming?
In the Big Ten. I mean, you knew it was going to happen. It's just a matter of when this discussion point came up. And do you want to reset things? You have a 12-year deal through 2026. Do you want to expand by 2020? And you've got the presidents that can, they'll be in a meeting the morning of the national championship game. Can you get some sort of traction to make this a reality and have it done by 2020? The SEC is the sticking point because, listen, there's been an outcry of what they do in November with the Samfords of the world. There's been outcry because they just play eight conference games. There's been outcry because they get credit like no other league, and it is very, very good. They're a great league, so I'm not going to just sit there and pile on the SEC. Yeah. But there's almost a free pass or two with a loss or two per one of their favorites. Even if Alabama, and they've come out. Alabama's come out as a non-division winner, non-conference champion, and been able to take Georgia down. Okay, it's not that long ago that Alabama got in. So the SEC has some advantages built in. They're playing great ball, and then when push comes to shove, they just win. Yeah. And Georgia, I mean, I think Georgia should be in this year. I think Georgia's, I'm going with best versus most deserving. And I've heard the Central Florida outcry, and I think they're an awesome program. I love what Coach Frost did. I think you have the mother of all inheritance for Heupel, okay? Yeah. So Central Florida is going to go back to being 9-3 in a good year versus a 25-0 run.
Especially now that Milton got Theismaned.
Thank you. Yeah. And you also have, look where Houston's at right now. When Herman was there, the way he was able to recruit, he was an elite coach getting great talent that was kind of under the radar. And they
inherited Sumlin's.
Yeah,
you know,
and they did beat some big dogs because they were fortunate enough to get them on the schedule.
But I agree. I don't see UCF as a sustainable power.
Right, there should not be a free pass. There should be the option of it, but it shouldn't be a guarantee for a group of five to get in.
But with eight, bring it.
I don't think so.
I don't know about a guarantee. Well, actually, I'm okay with that. Like, why not?
No, this is a unique year where you have Central Florida and Notre Dame both undefeated.
Yeah.
Okay, because Notre Dame's gonna get a spot. They've been dating the ACC forever.
Yeah.
They don't have to jack with a conference championship game.
I don't like to give Notre Dame credit, but their schedule's legit.
Here's kind of my take. Give me your five conference champions.
Yeah.
Keep your conference championship games, because I like those. Okay, and then allow your second place team, like a Michigan, like a Georgia, to have one of those spots. Yeah. All right.
And then give an at-large to the best group of five.
If it's warranted. If we're talking that they've had an ability to have a good non-conference showing.
It usually is, though. There is usually a group of five team that's either undefeated or one loss. You know?
Okay, well, let's go down
Western
the group
Michigan,
of five this
UCF,
year.
Like, you know, when Fleck was there, you know,
sure,
same deal.
Sure.
Like,
but it's just temporary.
Sure.
Until they get a bigger, better job.
Yeah, but so are some of the power fives that get in. You know, I mean, where's Auburn now? And Auburn used to be kind of a juggernaut. They were winning titles recently. Yeah, you know, it happens.
No, they've been able to rise up. I'm not saying exclude them like they've been excluded, but don't absolutely just free pass it here. If you have a
9-3 group of five team, you're probably not.
Sure.
Right?
But even I would take an 11-2 Georgia over a one loss group of five.
Yeah, no, probably true.
So,
but in this scenario, they would get in anyways. What you're talking about, you take your five conference champs, and then you got three at large. Mm-hmm. And generally, when you have the five conference champs, you got two, maybe three teams in the Power Five that deserve it.
Here's my like checklist though. If you're a conference champion that has three or more losses, your playoff spot's not guaranteed.
See, I don't think you can get into that because I don't think you can get into specific record scenarios because it's always going to be relative. So what if it happens to be a year where everybody's got three losses? That could happen.
You've had three conference champion game winners out of all the conference championship games have more than three losses and win the league.
Yeah.
Wisconsin and Texas come to mind.
Yeah. Well, I know what you're saying there. It makes sense. But there's something to be said for that, too, because chances are you knocked off a legitimate team at the end of the year.
Sure.
Right? And so, you know, I don't know.
Should that trump you over a Georgia or an Ohio State or a Penn State?
Look, I would just say regardless, though, the fact that eight seems like an inevitability. Whereas I don't think we could have said that even a few weeks ago.
No.
You know, there was such a staunch defense of the current format that you're just kind of like, you guys are going to pull your heads out of here, right? You're going to expand eight, right? Like, you were hoping that, but you hadn't heard any confirmation from any officials. Now it seems inevitable, which is positive.
You have a scary reality in the Big Ten that is this. You've watched the last 3 years. You haven't had a conference champion get in for 3 years. Your second place team, Ohio State, did get in and got whacked.
Yep.
Here's what you're staring at if you're the Big Ten, if you keep it at four. You're already watching, okay? That was with Urban Meyer. That was with James Franklin's teams going 12-2 or 11-2. Well, James Franklin, where's Penn State going to be? Yep. Are they a little blip at 9-3, or are they going to turn in to 9-3? Michigan. Okay, they're pretty solid. Will they eventually get over the hump? Who knows? Michigan State, who's been a playoff team before, where are they at right now?
They need to just take a nuke to their entire offensive everything.
So, and then you have no more Ohio State with Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Okay, the guy that has been carrying the flag, the team that's been carrying the flag, who knows?
There'll be some Ryan Day carryover for a year or two.
They could be fine, or it could go Luke Fickell. Right,
I mean, they'll be Michigan eventually.
Okay.
They will be Michigan. Oh, because Ohio State, it's built in. Brandon also wrote about this that they are sort of the outlier in college football where coaching changes do not seriously affect them. They do from going from very good to elite, but their baseline is always very good.
11-2.
They become elite when you get like an Urban Meyer, but they have been the most consistently winning program in all of college football for decades.
The time to act is now for the Big Ten to ensure that reservation, because you've watched with good teams and great coaches the last 3 years, and there's uncertainty moving forward. So it shifts now to Nebraska's ascension, What does Wisconsin maintain to be? Because they've been kind of knocking on that playoff door until this year.
Yeah, I think their defensive coordinators, that revolving door is just
finally caught up.
It's catching up.
And they've not recruited this well.
Yeah.
And then there's the Iowa discussion, because they were on the doorstep to get into the postseason. And that's when you had your outcry and bitching about the scheduling and right. being uneven. It was the perfect setup schedule-wise. Yeah. Iowa did their job. They beat who they were supposed to beat, and they couldn't get off the field against Michigan State.
You know, dated offense.
Right. But then they go get rolled by a 3-loss Stanford team. So the Big Ten's got to spearhead this conversation, because they are in a weird little holding pattern right now with transition in the league.
I do not mind the 9 games thing, though, because
I like it.
Yeah, it's because and so there is an outcry about
that. You just got to pick. You got to pick your spots. It needs to be a little bit less of an ask with your crossover. Case in point with Nebraska this year. I mean, their crossovers, we loved it, okay, because it's who you want to play on a given Saturday. It's what college football's all about. But going to Michigan and going to Ohio State in the same year is one hell of an ask. Say you split or even win your division, you're likely going to have to rematch them again.
But let's fast forward to when it's 8 teams, okay? The Big Ten has had a reasonable argument. And they were sort of like the last ones left out, right? Mm-hmm. They're sort of like in the NCAA tournament, oh, that's team number 69.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's the last one out. You know, they've been right there. So once you expand to 8.
You're in.
You're in.
You're champions.
You have a chance for 2 even at that point.
Sure.
Because the Big Ten's even had an argument for that. So I think you'll be fine while it remains 4 and you have these 9 conference games.
Put yourself at risk.
You do. You absolutely do. And Jim Delaney's comments about how that isn't the Holy Grail, it's like, maybe not for
you,
man.
Dude, you got to put it is, but you got to put lipstick on the reality.
Like, and you get what he's saying, because, you know, he's the Big Ten commissioner, and so he wants just Big Ten. That's all he's thinking about,
yeah.
But
don't
tell me that Harbaugh and Frost and Urban Meyer and every single coach there, the Holy Grail is the playoffs,
yeah.
Jim. Like, you're representing them.
Let's go win a championship.
Yeah, come on now.
And you're at a disadvantage with 9 conference games. You're at a disadvantage not scheduling a 1AA.
Yeah.
And the Big Ten has had to be aggressive with their non-conference, and to their credit, they have been. But you're getting the reality, too, when you do play a non-conference team, when Wisconsin plays an LSU. The timing of that is you're getting credit for it, and the Big Ten for a couple of years got credit for some of their non-conference win in their bowl games. But that's even changing because, listen, Nebraska will play Colorado week 2 again. Yeah. Well, what type of team are you in week 2, good or for bad? Okay,
yeah.
And then when it comes to your bowl matchup, when it's the scoreboard discussion, well, who's going to sit out to go to the NFL? I mean, that is a shift that's been ongoing.
Yeah.
And you're not playing a team as full strength if it's not a New Year's Day 6.
Yeah. No. All that stuff is a factor. But I just know, I think, as soon as it goes to 8, so
can
much
can they get
of
it
what
done by
2020? About, yeah, I don't see why they couldn't.
And the SEC is, yeah, okay, we'll expand. We're not going to stand in the way of it because it's a chance to get maybe 3 SEC teams
I mean,
in.
Really.
But don't ask them to get rid of their conference championship game. I do like the conference title games.
Me too.
And you can do away with divisions and have your top 2 play each other again.
I don't like that either. I think that is knee-jerk. I think that is responding to current times.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the West, let's take the Big Ten, for instance. The West, clearly inferior to the East. There is no question about it.
It's getting a little bit better.
Thank you. That's my point. It's not ordained like that forever.
It's not set in stone. Do it again.
Yeah,
prove it
no,
to me.
No, it's not. Like, just leave the divisions alone. They make sense geographically. Things naturally balance themselves out. It's not over time. Right, it's not like, now if we're 20 years from now talking about how the East or the West still hasn't won a conference title over the East, all right, then maybe you look at realignment at that point. But after a few years, just settle down, chill out. Nebraska's just now getting their mojo back. Wisconsin's trying to find themselves. Iowa is going to eventually replace Kirk Ferentz, and who knows what's going to happen there.
His kid.
That is scary.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. For as much as people clown on P.J. Fleck in Minnesota.
Hey, great coaching job this year.
Right? They have facilities. They're in probably the best city of all Big Ten teams. They have a chance to grow. It's, you know, just give it a little time. Wisconsin, obviously, they're, you know. So I don't like the whole don't have divisions thing. That's a part of it. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's part of the intrigue of football, is being able to win kind of your side of things and then get pitted against the next one. It's just, it's an extra, if it's just the top two, like think about that this year. What would that have meant?
Ohio State
again in the Big Ten championship game? Come on, that's not.
I would have rather.
There's some intrigue.
Would
there,
you have rather seen that though than Northwestern? I would have.
Now, the way this one went down, probably because you're like, Michigan, you really going to let them roll you by 50 again? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing, man? Well, you got them again next week. Like, but at the same time, that I don't know. That doesn't do it for me. I think you have to have the, because how cool was it when Northwestern was hanging around?
It was great,
right?
It was more cool because you hate Ohio State.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but so I'm all in favor of divisions. All in favor of eight playoff teams. I'm cool if you expand it to 12. You know, like go ahead. The more, the merrier.
I think eight's where you got to keep it. Let's talk about that New Year's resolution. Madonna Proactive can help make that a reality. Why wait till January to follow through with that resolution, the New Year's resolution to better health today? Madonna Proactive can help you. And when you sign up in December, you pay no initiation fee and you get January for free with an annual contract. 402-420-0000. Get online, madonnaproactive.org. The facility there is incredible. Over 130 classes, a walking track, an aqua track, strength training equipment, and the cardio equipment that'll get you back in shape. It'll shed some of those holiday pounds. Maybe you're already in great shape, but you're just looking for a facility that, I guess, represents you. And the facility is immense. It's incredible at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. And the aqua track, it's 95 degrees. It's 4 miles per hour current. And it really can build strength. And maybe you tweaked your foot or something. I mean, Therapy Plus, the rehab, a part of Madonna, does such a great job as well. Something to think about, and get that sign up in December, pay no initiation fee, and get January for free with Madonna Proactive. A quick timeout, and we'll get caught up with the pride of Ord. Husker standout Andy Markowski will take us through Husker hoops. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's bring in the pride of Ord, standout former Husker, Andy Markowski, back with us. Andy, what a ball game on Saturday. How are you?
Hey, not too bad, Smitty. Who played Saturday?
It was your Nebraska Cornhuskers against in-state rival, we can call it a rivalry now, that Nebraska got on the board for the first time since your era, right? It feels like that anyway, over Creighton. Man, what a showing, first by the Nebraska fan base, secondly by James Palmer. The other starters were incredible, and every shot seemed to go in. It's a performance that you'll point back to as a Nebraska fan, and it'll be locked in the memory banks because of how good Nebraska was. What are some of your takeaways that maybe surprised you about Saturday? What were some things you were confident Nebraska could do were they to get a victory?
Yeah, Chris, I say that tongue-in-cheek because the last 7 or 8 years my phone tends to get really busy post the Creighton Nebraska game, and for whatever reason it was pretty quiet on Saturday night and Sunday, but this was expected, as crazy as that seems with it being somewhat of a one-sided, you know, rivalry recently, but with Nebraska, you know, having a lot of core returners, certainly having talent, and Creighton maybe taking a step back from their roster a year ago, but it's still a rivalry. You still have to play well in big games, and certainly if you look at the starting five from the Nebraska. You know, playing at a really high level. And you mentioned Palmer. You know, not only did he score 30 points, he did it on 12 shots. You know, it's really efficient to get to that 30-point mark on only 12 shots. But they got contributions from everyone else. And when our top five play, as they did at Clemson, you know, we're as good as, I don't know if we're top five or top 10 good, but that group can really play and score. And I think there are stretches Saturday night that, you know, they were as good as anybody in the country. And it was certainly fun to watch, and great atmosphere. You know, I think Tim could excel. You know, he needed this win, and I think it's important that his team, you know, played hard for him and delivered. And that tells me that, you know, maybe they're a unison group and ready to do big things this year.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska's win over Creighton. You're right on. I mean, Coach Miles needed this over Creighton. This was maybe a turning point ball game in the year because Nebraska got off to such a good start. They had the road win at Clemson, and I wasn't sure what Nebraska was going to do after the misstep or the backstep against Minnesota. Not demeaning that, listen, it's easy to go win at the Barn. It's not, but Nebraska had Minnesota, and I was wondering how that loss would carry forward to Saturday. Was that a question you had coming in, where this team might be at mentally, not only because it's Creighton, because of how they lost midweek?
It's an upper-class team, and you know, you think they can handle adversity, and certainly it showed that they can. You know, I think after the Texas Tech game, you know, they responded, you know, from that. So that you know, tends to be a pattern that's positive. Now, you know, you don't want to blow an 11 or 12 point lead on the road like they did to Minnesota, but you have to give Minnesota credit. I think they're a type of team that Nebraska is going to struggle with. You know, we're just not a gritty inside physical team. So when you play the Illinois or the Creighton teams that don't really have a true inside game, we match up very well to those style teams. So I think Nebraska is going to struggle with the Minnesota type teams in the league, and then match up really well, you know, with some of the other finesse, you know, smaller teams in the league. So it was a good win. Certainly, you know, Creighton's picked eighth or ninth in the Big East, so I don't know what that win's going to look like in terms of NCAA tournament consideration. But for in-state bragging rights, confidence, and, you know, the other thing is Pinnacle Bank is getting a reputation for being a really hard place to play. You know, you just read the quotes coming out of there from visiting coaches, visiting players. I think they've won 17 in a row. It's one thing to say you have a home court advantage. It's another thing to develop a winning streak where that plays in the minds of teams as they come in here and prepare. And I think the Vault is proven to, you know, be a difficult place to win. And when you have a good team and a good home court advantage, that bodes well for high conference finishes, because if you can win, you know, at home, if you can protect your home court and still come on the road, you're certainly going to be in the top half of the league, if not the top third, and those are the type of seasons that Nebraska needs.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What's Nebraska have in Thomas Allen? And I'm not just jumping on the bandwagon after going for 18 against Creighton. I also remember in a big game against Kansas a year ago, he was lights out, and he really seemed to step forward. I know he was a high-level recruit, but it seems like Thomas Allen is poised to maybe turn that corner. Are you there yet with him, or are you wanting to see more?
I've seen signs of him being a really talented shooter and scorer. You know, that hasn't translated consistently, which, you know, tends to happen for young kids. I think last year, defensively, he was not trusted by the coaching staff, or, you know, maybe his minutes were spotty. Some games he got to play a little bit more. You know, this year he's getting the, you know, kind of the 25 to 33 minutes is where most of those starters are at. So he's getting ample opportunity to play. I think you'll see more big games from Thomas, as you've seen against Creighton, because he does have the talent to make shots. He can penetrate and score, and he's going to get the minutes. There's really nobody pushing him for that time from the bench. So I look for more big games, but he's only a sophomore, so you're going to see the 1-for-7 nights still. But you hope the big games where maybe Palmer or Watson are struggling, Allen can lift the team with some scoring, because they still are very limited with bench production. You look at the two or three kids they're playing minutes off the bench. I think Ockington had, you know, had a three, but had some steals, some rebounds, some assists. He contributed, but outside of him, they're not getting a lot from the bench. So they're going to need Allen to have a big year if they want to, you know, compete in the top third, if not win the league. I think the league is wide open for somebody to step up and be the best team, and Nebraska certainly has the talent to do that.
Andy, what did you guys build Creighton, Nebraska to be? What was the message during your time with Coach Knee about the in-state game?
You know, Creighton was really poor when I came to Nebraska in 94. You know, Rick Johnson had been fired. Dana had taken over. So we kind of sleptwalked through the first 2 years, and then unfortunately sleptwalked through the third year as well, where they stung us in Omaha. And then my senior year, it became a rivalry. They're actually ranked 25th. Had just beat Iowa. They had Rodney Buford and had a pretty good group, and we ended up beating them pretty good at home. That was really the first time that it was a big game on the schedule because they had, you know, they had gotten better. They had beat us the year before. So you kind of heard that noise around the game. Sort of the Creighton fans came, down to Lincoln my senior year and filled a third of Devaney, which, you know, created kind of a unique environment because at that point, outside of Kansas, you know, really there wasn't a lot of visiting fans that would get to Devaney. But yeah, I think, you know, Coach Knee had it as a rivalry maybe in the early 90s with Hartstead and Gallagher and some of those. And it kind of fell off early. And then it, you know, from really my junior year where they beat us, sophomore year from when they beat us until now, it's been a pretty good rivalry. And, it's exciting to see Nebraska win again. I feel like, you know, the home team really should win in that rivalry. And unfortunately, Nebraska, you know, hasn't been able to protect the home side of that rivalry. And hopefully this is the start of that.
Can you put into words what it's like to have that sixth man, so to speak, the energy, the crowd? Because growing up, it was very prevalent at Devaney, be it for Kansas or Missouri or a non-con coming in. I mean, it was you. Were you able to feed off of the energy from the fans and the student section when you played?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can extend runs. When you have a fan base, you have that energy. I certainly think it allows you to get off to faster starts. And then when you finish games, I think there's just an added pressure in a close game where the fans are loud. I think other teams feel that pressure. Maybe not the best player from the other team, but maybe the fifth or sixth player at the free throw line or shooting an open shot. I think you feel that added pressure. And, you know, if you look at conference games, you know, everything comes down to the final 3 or 4 minutes. You know, 2 to 3 points usually decide a lot of conference games. And having that advantage, maybe can tilt 2 or 3 wins to your favor over the course of a season. And you know, that's a really big number between an NCAA tournament or maybe an NIT.
Andy Markowski, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska's win over Creighton. Huskers able to kind of exercise that blue demon, so to speak, as Nebraska wins by 19. I thought it was extremely key, Andy, that Creighton got back in it. They cut it down to 9 or 10 a few times. And Nebraska always had an answer. Do you chalk that up to just feeling it? They were just fantastic shooting. Or do you think Nebraska was confident? It's one thing to have the shots go in, but this team had a different mindset, it looked like, than in previous outings against Creighton.
Yeah, I was chuckling. I don't know who to give credit to, but I read on Twitter that, you know, Creighton's defense was so poor Nebraska couldn't even execute their 3-minute scoring drought. So I kind of chuckled at that one. But, you know, I think part of that was, you know, Creighton certainly is you know, below average defensively, or you know, you had some open looks, but you still got to take them and make them with confidence. So you have to give Nebraska credit that, you know, that we were able to continually play with confidence, shoot with confidence. And, you know, when this team, you know, can shoot the three at a high clip, you know, I don't think they're going to shoot over 50% like they did against Creighton, but even, you know, mid to high 40s is going to give them a chance to win a lot of games, because, you know, I think we're going to take 18 to 20 some threes based on how, you know, Tim has the offense set up. Palmer's going to probably have to consistently make threes because teams are going to continually play off of him, trying to keep him out of the paint, keep him off the free throw line. So, I think it's a combination of Creighton not being great defensively, you know, maybe not having the athleticism that they needed to defend the perimeter. But, you know, Nebraska still has to take and make open shots, and they did in that game.
Andy, last thought here. What do you know about Oklahoma State?
You know, I don't. I had a chance to watch a little bit of them against Minnesota on TV, I don't know, three weeks ago. And, you know, they're going through a coaching transition. I think this is the second year under the new regime. You know, they looked athletic on the perimeter, but certainly a neutral game is a game that Nebraska needs to win. I think Oklahoma State's picked to finish last in the Big 12. So I don't know a lot about their personnel, but certainly, Nebraska is the team that they want to be. You're coming off a big win. You've got a week to prepare, a week to maybe rest a little bit. That's a game that you got to go take care of business, and then get ready for league play. I think we have a couple easier non-conference games over the break, which should give us great opportunity to put maybe some new stuff in going into conference season, which is always a struggle as scouting and personnel. Teams know each other so well, so maybe look for Nebraska to maybe put a few things in over break as they have a couple games that are more manageable in terms of expectation to win. So it should be a fun environment up in the Sanford Center. It's a great place to play. It's a wonderful facility, and I know we have a lot of fans up there, so hopefully fans come out and support us and make it more of a home game than a neutral game.
Andy, thanks for a few minutes today. Appreciate it.
All right, Schmitty, thanks for having me.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Good stuff from Andy Markowski. Winding down hour one, Hail Varsity Radio weekend edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone. And give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone. A reminder, when you're driving along, accidents can happen, and it's imperative that you buckle up. Click it or ticket. Something's got to stop that motion, and airbags usually aren't enough. You want it to be a seatbelt or the windshield that brings you to a halt. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry, and that applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from your friends at the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Colton, you got to jump on here. Kranach's grilling me on his bull picks.
Man, I love that.
I know you do it every year, and you do it during the regular season.
Usually during breaks in the show.
Yeah, college football worldly.
Yeah.
But some of these matchups, man, I mean, I'm not excited at all, really, for the bowl season.
Well, that's why you got to get in the bowl pools. That's
Should
what
I just
makes
incinerate my money?
Yes.
No, look, dude, I'm paying a total of $30 for two bowl pools.
I'll take $30.
Yeah, and then I could win like $800 or something. Uh-huh. Come on.
And I get the ROI.
Now, I got one of them. One of them
you
is...
You need to ask Colton a couple of coin flips. You need to ask Vogues. You need to ask Sharpie.
No, well, one of them is confidence against the spread.
Right.
Right, and that's ridiculous.
Who's covering... Who are you most shaky about?
Like, I get it. Who do you want between Alcorn State and North Carolina A&T?
I just don't want it on my
A&T.
TV. Not worried about it. Like, you know A&T?
Yeah.
Okay.
NCA&T for sure.
Okay, sure. I took
Arizona State's going to beat Fresno State today.
No.
Colton,
no.
In full disclosure, has a Sun Devil shirt on under his Husker sweatshirt.
No. Fresno's
got to get dirty this morning.
Fresno's got a certain sturdiness.
It's already dirty.
Fresno's got a certain sturdiness and toughness about them that I'm not worried. Now, if this game was in Arizona after dark, different story. Sun Devils win by 30. Because that's what they do at night in the desert.
Sure.
This is not at night in the desert.
No.
So it's in Vegas, though.
Well, it's technically
it's
a desert. But
yeah,
it's during daylight at 2:30. So it's not going to happen. That's And you always take the triple option teams in bowl season.
Right now, Herm Edwards screaming at a roulette dealer, you play to win the game.
Now, you get more time as a defense to get ready for those option teams, but you still take the option teams because
Thank God
Nebraska
it.
Used to run the option.
Brandon Vogel's coming up hour two.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranach.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Hour 2 Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, Colton Stone. We say hi to Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Co-author with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. And I tell you what a comeback, what a win, what guts for Nebraska volleyball. as they were able to down Illinois. They see Stanford tonight. Vogues, are you nervous? You excited? Let's talk about this championship date in the land of Juicy Lucy's tonight in Minneapolis. How are you?
Volleyball is tense, Brandon. Volleyball is tense.
I noticed that on Thursday night. I think that should be the case again tonight. Stanford's really good. But at this point, like, somehow you think there's nothing Nebraska volleyball can do to surprise you anymore in terms of their excellence and being good. And then things like Thursday happen. So they're going to have a tough one tonight. But at this point, you can't count them out of anything.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. All right, so for the casual volleyball fan, and you wrote the book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion, available now. And you can make it
paperback, too.
Paperback, you can do hardback, you can do all hardcover. You can do all kinds of stuff with that. Brandon, you can spiff me on that later. But so for the casual volleyball fan, put into perspective, down 2-0, roughly, how often do teams come back and win that thing?
Oh, I don't have any hard numbers, you know, but it's a little bit like we look at football, you know, having a lead at the end of the first quarter kind of raises your win probability to, you know, a decent amount. And if it's still there at the second quarter, you're a little bit farther along. So having that 2-0 lead would be, you know, almost a pretty big halftime lead if we were talking about football. So you go from there. Especially in the Final Four, you know, against a fellow Big Ten team in Illinois that finished ahead of Nebraska in the Big Ten Conference, beat Nebraska on its home floor. The Huskers had split with them in the regular season overall. You know, you're probably looking at Nebraska maybe had about a 30% chance going into that third game, and that might be optimistic given the way that second set went. Illinois smoked them, and you just didn't think that, well, some of these Nebraska runs eventually have to end. This might be where this one did. And Nebraska came out and gutted one out in the third and started to, you know, that was really the kind of the match turning point, because once they did that, you know, I think they had some belief they could get it done.
Now, Stanford tonight, most folks out here listening probably haven't watched a Stanford match this year. You know, it might be one of the first times.
Maybe against Penn State.
Yeah.
Right.
Just hasn't happened. Why are they so good? They're ranked first. I've heard they're big. It's about what I know. What kind of preview can you give that Nebraska fans are going to see against them tonight? What will they notice?
Well, yeah, they're one of the top hitting teams in the country. They're one of the top teams in kills per set. And one of the top teams in blocks per set. So, you know, at the net, they're really strong, and they're super athletic and big. You got a 6'2" middle blocker and 2 6'6" pin hitters. So there's just a lot to deal with. I think they had 17 blocks in the sweep of BYU, rolled right through that one, and that's the only loss that they've had this season. So they avenged that, and I think they only had maybe one or two other matches that even went to five games as they rolled through the Pac-12. So they've been pretty dominant. They're really big up front. And then they've got one of the best setters in the country, the last setter to win a national title as a true freshman, which Nick Winhames will be hoping to do for Nebraska tonight.
So if this was football, they would be like 7.5-point favorites tonight?
Yeah, I think for a championship game, you know, you don't see too big spreads. So 7.5 feels about right, you know, which – as everyone says, if things go to plan, that's about what Alabama would be over Clemson.
Okay. Yep.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. So Coach Cook has said time and time again that he smiles about this team's leadership, Fecky specifically, as a senior, as a captain. How does he grow and foster leadership? Because Cook just reloads, 4 straight Final Fours. You never want to just take it for granted, but he is that good. They've been that dominant. How has he been able to grow leadership within his program?
You know, I think there's a consistency of message there, and it starts right when those players show up. And it very much is, I think, player-driven. So Kayla Fecky and Kinsey Maloney show up. You know, when Kinsey was a freshman, she came into those championship match and had some really key serves, but she wasn't their starting libero. You know, she could come in and come along slowly. Meanwhile, you know, Fecky was playing on a team with a ton of talent in terms of the attack, and she ended up winning most outstanding player. So I think you start with that kind of freedom that the freshmen can be very good right away, but they typically don't have to. So then they get a focus on just playing and seeing how the team works from internal leadership. You know, so both of those players spent a lot of time on teams with Kelly Hunter, who's one of the best ever at Nebraska, regardless of sport. And I think you just have the freedom and the time to watch how player-driven leadership works. And because, you know, going into this season, it made perfect sense that Fecky and Maloney were the team captains. Neither one of them struck me as kind of your most traditional team leader or captain material. But all week long, well, really all season long, Coach Cook has raved about the job that they have done. So I think they're a really good example of whatever magic they're working there. These two, it's certainly worked on, because they're not the type like Kelly Hunter. I think, you know, made a lot of sense. She was a captain as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. These two didn't get there until they were seniors. But here they are doing some of the same things that plenty of other Nebraska greats have done.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska volleyball. Go for the national title tonight against Stanford. You know, in that game against Illinois, obviously you had Fecky who had a really strong close, and you saw the same thing with Lexi Sun, where after, you know, both, I wouldn't say Fecky was struggling early, Lexi was. They both kind of got things right. But the person who I thought really stabilized things for them in very limited action was Jazz Sweet. Mm. I think she was 9 kills on 20 hits, something like that. So I thought she was sort of an X factor in some ways. Is that the role that you see her playing tonight? Is there an X factor on the team that you think in particular against Stanford has to have a big night?
She would be in that group. You know, she's had her ups and downs this season. You know, numbers wise, it's about the same as her freshman year, where she kind of came in. You know, last season she came up huge in the regional final at Kentucky. So I think there's the opportunity there for her to have these big moments when Nebraska needs the most. You know, Illinois was all set to make sure Mikayla Fecky wasn't going to beat them on Thursday, and they did a really good job of that. So Nebraska's going to need someone there. I think Lexi, you know, she's not sort of the off the bench person. I mean, everyone's well aware of her, but if she plays really well, I think that gives Nebraska one of its best chances to win this match, because it's going to take like that Stanford block's really big. Whoever's getting those attack opportunities is going to have to be pretty smart with their shot selection in terms of tooling blocks, or, you know, going to tip and roll shots, whatever it takes to kind of get the ball over the net and hopefully down, because Stanford certainly makes that a challenge. I think the good thing for Nebraska is Lexi can be very good in that area. She kind of has all of those shots in her repertoire, and Fecky certainly does. So that's why it's going to become really important for Nebraska in terms of serve, receive, and passing, because you got to get the ball to Nicklin Hames and give her options as a setter. You know, that's why they talk about out of system with volleyball all the time. It's sort of like being in third and long. If you're out of system, you just have fewer options in terms of your attack, and that's real trouble against a team like Stanford.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, I want to switch gears, talk some college football, and you have the playoff outcry from Barry Alvarez, time to go to 8. You had a great hot reads this week about 6. And that's a really good take as well. I don't want the free pass for a air quote bad conference champion. I'm thinking of James Brown in Texas. Okay, just call it like it is. Or say Northwestern or Pitt would have upset Ohio State or Clemson. What's your reaction to Dan Mullen? You've seen the video this morning that's out on Twitter and the response by Florida. We've offered them 2-for-1, which is what we do with most schools in their position. Potentially a big deal for them. If they want to try and toughen their schedule, it would be a great opportunity for them. Now, what's your reaction to that? Central Florida has been kind of screaming about how uneven the system is. Now, if I'm Central Florida, I've been better than Florida the last 2 years, right? or at least right there during the McElwain era. Why should I have to go to your spot twice, the Swamp? No one wins there, theoretically. And we only get one return home game. That's just, you have teams like Central Florida, like Houston, like Temple, like Boise, but good luck, man. It's a death wish trying to schedule them.
It is. And, you know, I don't blame UCF for saying thanks but no thanks. But, you know, the fact is like that would be, if they weren't in the middle of a 25-0 run, mm-hmm. like that would be a pretty standard deal.
It is.
The thing that hurts UCF, like, is honestly, in my opinion, being in the conference. You know, back when Florida State and Miami kind of made their rise to national football powers, like, they had the benefit of being independent, which came with a sort of, yeah, we'll play anybody mindset. It's tough to do that when you're in a conference now. You know, UCF and Danny White and the AAC conference commissioner have kind of taken the track of, we're trying to legitimize the AAC as a whole. You know, if it was just UCF, yeah, it would probably be in their best interest to go independent. I mean, it's not best interest financially, but in terms of being respected as a national power, to go independent and just create a Notre Dame-like schedule. But that's not really feasible in today's game for a lot of different reasons.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. A lot of talk this week, too, about how the powers that be within the playoff, I guess, administration are talking, it's sort of inevitable now that there are going to be 8 teams, and it could be as soon as, what, 2020?
That's what they want.
2020? Yeah. Any surprise there? I guess I'm surprised by how quickly it transitioned from, no, we're not even talking about it, to, yeah, we're probably going to do it in 2020.
That's the Big Ten perspective, right?
You know, I mean, it's how these things tend to go. Looking at the FCS playoff model, and, you know, that started out at 4 teams. Well, it started out at 2 teams, and I think within 3 years it was already up to 4, and it just kind of grew that way. You know, I don't know how big FBS football will ever get. There's too many competing interests, i.e. the bowls primarily, that make it tough for the 2014 format that we see in FCS. But this is kind of how it goes. You know, people hold the line like, nope, we're good at four. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get the sense that maybe through people being disappointed, I guess, that teams like UCF really have no legitimate shot at making it, the public opinion on it sort of flips from, yeah, we're good, this is interesting and new, to, yep, we got to get more teams in. And then everyone, you know, immediately makes the change. So it seems sudden. If I wouldn't have predicted by 2020 that we'd be there, but watching it unfold in real time, kind of like, yeah, this is about how this goes.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, before we let you go, just kind of an overview here. Wednesday is National Signing Day, the first session of it. Hail Varsity going to be everywhere for the some of the ceremonies and coverage galore, is the best way I'll put it. What's your take on Nebraska's class right now? I mean, you don't have to get specific, but what do you like right now, and do you think Nebraska and Frost and Company can close well?
Yeah, I think from a big picture perspective, the number of commits they have in, and you know, who are expected to sign next week is encouraging. You know, I'll be interested to see sort of the final tally of early enrollees, because I think that's going to be as big at Nebraska as it's ever been, and that's an advantage in terms of ranking. It's kind of exactly where I think Nebraska should be most years. So when you look at, you've been able to sell sort of the Scott Frost vision for the program. You didn't see much of a hit from Nebraska starting 0-6. So I think that's a encouraging sign for Husker fans. And if they can hang right where they're at, like, I think that's a very successful second class, first real full class. And they've got a chance with some guys late here. And if they really kind of address most of their needs, which I think they've done to this point, it'd be really interesting to see what they do with that, you know, January into February then. Because then you can go out there and try and take some big swings and see what happens, depending on who's left.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska signing day coming up here this week. And tons of coverage on HailVarsity.com, of course. You're going to do some live video stuff, is that right?
We're loaded up, man. We're going to do a 10 to noon video.
Okay.
Technical support.
You going to shower that day?
I'm going to shower, and I'm going to comb my hair. We'll do that, and then we'll do an extended Hail Varsity 2 to 6, and Brandon Vogel's going to be on, and all of our folks, Aaron Sorensen, Jacob Padilla, Greg Smith, Derek Peterson. Vogues, I mean, this thing's like loaded up, isn't it?
It is. You know, to speak for myself, I am committed to be on Hail Varsity Radio Show that day. But, you know, you can never rule out a flip on signing day.
Oh, come on now.
Now, listen. So you just,
we're trying to get Mark Kranak in. This is what we're doing, Vogues. We need to send some folks to his living room here later today. Like, all of us
need
to show up.
Send the whole Hail Varsity staff.
I think we need to do that.
Well, bring it. Let's do it. I'll make some chili. All right. So you know, you're right. The rankings, it kind of seems like Nebraska is, if they ever crack the top 10, just color me shocked. I just don't think it's going to.
I think they're comfortable, guys, in going where they want to go and let the number fall where it falls.
Yeah, they'll be in the 10 to 20 range. But you look, you know, it's hard to argue with some of the results where you look at, you know, all the last national champions and or the college football playoff participants. Generally speaking, they're all kind of like top 10, top 5 recruiting classes. Like, there's no question about that. The lone outlier, though, would be Oregon, when they participated in the first ever college football playoff. Is that the model? Put it this way. Does Nebraska need that top 10 class or several top 10 classes to make it to the playoffs?
It's a really good question, because, you know, Oregon is sort of the model for what Nebraska does, certainly on offense, but I think how it's, you know, getting built overall, that sort of melding of modern Oregon and old school Nebraska. And those teams had, you know, a lot of success with recruiting classes that were probably one notch below that level. So yeah, if you just look at the numbers, you know, you've got to be top 10 to be playing for and winning the college football playoff. I do think Nebraska can get there with a slightly lower level. You know, if Nebraska averages sort of 10 to 20 year in and year out, like, I think that's enough. If you feel like you've got a coaching edge, and I feel like Nebraska does over a lot of teams in the country, you can get by with that. You know, now Oregon played for a couple of national titles, never won one. So it's always a question of how long can you be really good before people want to take the next step. And we're a long ways away from having to worry about that. But I think, you know, really fast forwarding this thing like 10, 15 years down the road, like, I think Nebraska can do it with those 10 to 20 classes just based on how they're built.
Vogue, so what's coming up this weekend with you and HailVarsity.com?
Yeah, so we've got a full team in Minneapolis for volleyball. Recruiting news isn't going to slow down at any point until until we get through early signing period. And Greg Smith's been doing a great job with that. And then our team in Minneapolis is going back through Sioux Falls on Sunday. So we'll have some Husker hoops on the site this weekend as well.
Awesome stuff. Have a great weekend, Brandon. Thanks for the time today, bud.
Thank you.
All right, Brandon Vogel. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter is where you follow him. Can read him, HailVarsity.com and magazine.
Hey, by the way, volleyball. I didn't realize this about Nicklin Hames, the setter. She, man, very impressive.
Yep.
Obviously following up Kelly Hunter, who's maybe the best setter in program history, whatever. Did you know she won 5 state titles in high school?
Usually you're kind of cut off at 4, but some places let you go to high school and play when you're in 8th grade.
And that happened with her in Tennessee. 5 state titles. So, it's easy to overlook stuff like that, right? And it's in Tennessee, which is
you want winners in your program.
Right? So, like, here she is in the national, like, she is used to winning it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all she does. That's what she's done since she was in 8th grade. You know, and for as powerful as Stanford is, Nebraska's strength, what is it? Defense, right? I don't know, man. You got Nicklin Hames. She doesn't know how to not win.
No, I know. Big moment, but she's done well.
Titles. There's a great volleyball analysis. I guess you get paid extra for today.
I'm proud of you.
Bringing that kind of
I'm very proud of you.
Insight.
Gary Sharp will bring some insight. It's the Iron Horse. He's next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7 1/2 minutes after that, you're going to bring us 2 more. Then 2 more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition. Hail Varsity .com and magazine. Good stuff this week on both. We say hi to the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, where are you this morning, man?
I am in Moscow.
Nice.
Idaho.
I don't know.
Which Moscow?
I'll let you guys try and figure it out. I'm actually in the middle of nowhere. If you look at where Moscow, Idaho, and Pullman, Washington are on the map.
I'm going to do that right now with Google Maps.
Which is incredible. It's kind of a pretty area, but it is very small, and it blows me away that Washington State is, you know, in a major conference, basically in a town the size of Kearney.
Okay.
Hmm.
So the vicinity of Moscow, because that's Idaho, University of Idaho, or is Idaho State? Forgive me.
University of Idaho.
Okay, and then what are you, 20 minutes from Wazoo?
No, Pullman is 8 miles to the west.
Oh, wow.
Moscow.
You're that close. Okay, all right.
And, well, you know, it's not the easiest place to get into. You have to fly into Spokane, and then you drive up to this area. But it's just, I think, wow. And it's kind of, it's a quiet area, very much a college town. I'm thinking it takes a guy like Mike Leach to enjoy being here and able to recruit here, because it's not easy.
Well, hey, man, Gary, I'm looking at it on a map. This should make you feel better. If you head to the east, you'll be in the St. Joe National Forest. You got that going for you. And then the Snake River is very close by. And then the Metroplex of Lewiston is just south of you.
Yes, it's a pretty area. I mean, they call it the Palouse. I was kind of surprised it's this small, but it definitely has the feel of a college town. I keep shaking my head. Washington State is running in the Pac-12 and having success in, of all sports, football, in a town that's the size of Kearney. That's amazing.
It is Bill Moose and Mike Leach and what they got kind of recreated there. That's incredible. Sharpie, let's start with Nebraska volleyball, and I know you've covered Nebraska athletics for a long time, and you know Coach Pettit well, you know Coach Cook well, and just give me your thoughts on Thursday, and just, I guess the best question here, were you surprised when it was 0-2? Did you think Nebraska had it in them, considering the opponent?
I mean, first of all, Illinois got off to a great start, and you kind of figured that all the emotion of playing in your first NCAA tournament for a lot of those players and coaches, And then when it was 2-0 and Illinois didn't close out Nebraska and they gave Nebraska a heartbeat, I thought once it got to 2-1, Nebraska has a chance to win this because John Cook, I mean, he would have no idea if they're winning or losing.
I know.
I mean, he's super calm. He's super calm, and that kind of relates to his team because he trusts his team and he trusts his staff so much. But it was just, that was kind of what Nebraska volleyball is. They're very resilient and no fear of failure. It's as more people have talked about Nebraska volleyball this week, you can see the connection between John Cook and Scott Frost because they almost say the same exact thing, and they're modeling their program for the same exact thing, where no fear of failure, that culture helps bring in young players to mold them with older players, and that they're going to be resilient in tough times. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's they got a major college volleyball program that is making a profit and has a chance to win another national championship. When this wasn't really a rebuilding year. I remember talking to John in the middle of the summer, and he said, it's not a rebuilding year. He goes, because I look at every year as a new year. Not necessarily, okay, we've got X, Y, and Z back from our national championship team. He goes, I look at every season as a new year because you have new things that pop up. And once they got over the hump and they got to November, and he knows his team so well, and he pushed the right buttons, and then, oh, by the way, you have one of the best players you've ever had in the history of the program, Michaela Fecky. Things kind of fall in line. Should be a lot of fun tonight. It's going to be a heck of a challenge. They'll have to play a lot better. But, geez, for them just to get to the national championship match after what they went through in October is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. And then you throw Nicklin Hames into that mix. And we were just talking last segment. She won 5 state titles when she was in Tennessee. When she was in high school in Tennessee, they brought her up as an 8th grader, obviously. She didn't redshirt. I mean, just incredible that they are able to place somebody like that who's obviously used to winning. And it showed, Gary, that is not a freshman out there. Nebraska right now, between her and Adrian Martinez, I mean, you have some lights out program. Like, potentially all-time greats at really key positions right now in your 2 marquee programs.
Yeah, it's and for people that don't know volleyball, as well, you know, and then they like to get into it. Where Nebraska is at this point in the season is the equivalent of Adrian Martinez basically starting in one of the national semifinals later this month. Is you don't get to this point with a freshman setter because there's so many things you have to do, but she has been excellent. I mean, it's just there's a lot of positive things about this program because you molded it with a couple of older players in Fecky and Maloney. And then you've got some sophomores. You get a transfer from Texas. Alexi Sun has been great. And then you throw in a freshman setter that you knew was going to be good, but you didn't know this quickly. I mean, one thing about Michaela Fecky, and I talked about it on my show this week, is, you know, the athletes, if you go back through, I don't know, last 20-plus years of Nebraska athletics, how many athletes come in that are hyped and they live up to the hype or they exceed it? Michaela Fecky was the number 2 player in the country in 2015, so you expected her to walk in and be one of your best players. I think she's gone above and beyond, and she's in a rare category in Nebraska athletics over the last 20 years, I think.
Well, you're right. You've had a lot of hype over the last 2 decades, and you got a small number that have followed through with that and transcended and delivered high-level performances on top of championships, and she has absolutely been phenomenal. Gary Sharp's with us. He is in Moscow this morning.
Say what's up to Vlad.
Did you have a mule last night?
I did not have a mule. I'm sorry to disappoint.
That's okay. Let's talk a little bit here about Nebraska basketball. What a performance by Nebraska basketball, and the way they shot, the way they shared the ball. They didn't flinch when things could have got a little bit tighter. They got Okie State and Sioux Falls tomorrow night, but I thought Nebraska was going to bounce back. They've shown the ability to do that earlier in the year. Tech to Clemson was kind of my model there, but I just, man, Thomas Allen is I mean, James Palmer was awesome, but Thomas Allen was kind of unexpected. Sharpie, what do you think he can be this year? Are you going to get kind of flashbulb moments like the Creighton performance, or do you think he can be a little bit more consistent and be, you know, a fifth option, or not a fifth option, but a fifth double-digit score? Do you think he can take that step this season?
I think, Schmitty, he can do whatever they need of him or ask of him on a nightly basis.
Okay.
For somebody that was that highly recruited and you don't get to play right away and have, you know, you're the man, it takes a little bit. You got to find your role. And I think, you know, last year, Evan Taylor was that guy for Nebraska, mm-hmm. where they found a guy that was a chemistry guy that would do anything you wanted. And Thomas Allen is kind of that guy. When you say, hey, we need buckets out of you, we need you to drive and not kick, but go to the rim. Or when we kick it out to you, go ahead and take the shot. Don't pass it up. And for what he did on Saturday, I think you'll see that periodically throughout the year. And then when you transition to next year, when his role becomes bigger. But just to add him to the mix, that was a game where I said last week when we were together, I said, don't overthink it. You know that Creighton's beat you. You know that you got to bounce back from Minnesota. You know that you have the better roster and you have the better team. And you're an NCAA team. Just go out and show it and play the way you're supposed to play. Now, did I think Nebraska would come out with that much energy and just blow the doors off Creighton and be able to withstand some moments in that game where Creighton could have inched back into it that you've seen in the past between those two teams? That showed me a lot. But Nebraska's a good basketball team. And you're going to have nights like Minnesota. You're going to have nights like Texas Tech. You just don't have to have – you just don't want Minnesota to beat you twice. But for them to come out and show the energy and win 50-50 balls – hit big shots, basically play Creighton's game, I thought it was pretty telling. And now you get the week off, and you get Oklahoma State in kind of a really unique venue tomorrow in Sioux Falls at the Pentagon, where it'll be a small crowd. It'll basically be a 3,000-plus home game for Nebraska with all the red in there. But you got to keep the momentum going because this is the kind of time of the year where school is out. You're not playing the big names anymore outside of Oklahoma State. You know, people are going to have to Google who you're playing before you get back into conference. So you can't afford a hiccup. But that was one of the more impressive performances I think you're going to see out of Nebraska basketball all season long. But with that said, quickly, guys, at the end of the year, Creighton can't be one of your top three victories. Yeah, you can't look back and go, man, Creighton was one of our top three, because you have juicy matchups either at home or on the road in the Big Ten that winning those games will give you a better bump than beating Creighton at home.
Gary, there's a couple things that stood out in that game. One, when we were talking about how the game would likely unfold, we could not have been more wrong.
It was just
ridiculous. Like, who saw Nebraska putting up 90 on those guys? Like, it was crazy.
You didn't see him shooting 50%.
No, it's just nuts that they were able to win in that kind of game. And they've now shown this year that they can win a lot of different styles, which is really positive. But the part you just mentioned about the 50-50 balls, that was one of the more impressive Nebraska efforts that I've maybe ever seen. I mean, it's been a long time since you've seen guys hit the floor like that with regularity, and not just one guy, not just Evan Taylor. Roby's doing it.
Yep.
All kinds of guys are doing it. Do you think that was an isolated incident Creighton game, or could that be something that Tim Miles shows them on film and is like, hey, guys, let's be about this. You right? If they do that, I mean, that 4-6 seed that people are prognosticating right now might be a thing.
I think that kind of high-level intensity is hard to duplicate every game. But if you can get 4-5-6 of those type of nights during the course of the season, it is great. But the 50-50 balls, diving on the floor, out-hustling, I want to see, you know, after a week off, how you respond to Oklahoma State. Was it more of the color you were playing against, or that's you know who you are? You're right. We could not have been further from the truth on what happened in that game, because I didn't expect Nebraska. Creighton had a good game plan to say, hey, Nebraska can't hit threes, and that's what they want to shoot. Let them shoot it until they can't, you know, they have to scramble to find something else. But once they started hitting shots, I thought Creighton would adjust, and they would cut down the space from the defender and the guy standing out beyond the arc, and they didn't do that. And so Nebraska, again, don't overthink it. They did what Creighton gave them, and they were able to hit shots, and then they started to get to the rim, and it was all downhill from there. This is a team that has a lot of positive things going for them. Again, in this stretch before you get back into that Big Ten schedule where you got a couple of tough games when you get to January, you can't afford a hiccup. You can't have one of those games where you sleepwalk through. You're going to have one of them, I believe, before the end of the month just because it's the time of the year. But is that a game where you have enough to overcome it? That's why tomorrow night, I'm very interested to see Nebraska start against Oklahoma State. We have venue, haven't been there before. The shooting sight lines are completely different than a normal arena you're going to play in. So can Nebraska after finals week, some illness that's on the team, can they get off to a quick start? And if they do and they play really well early against Oklahoma State, I think we're all thinking, man, March might really have something in store for Nebraska basketball fans.
March will be a lot of fun, man, if they keep doing what they're doing. Gary, last thought here, bud. Thanks for the time this morning from Moscow. Your kind of quick take on the class's signing day looms for Wednesday. Nebraska out in full force for Ty Robinson, out in full force for Wandale Robinson earlier this week. But size up the class. Who are a couple, three guys that you're excited about, and who are a couple of fish that they need to reel in, that you think they can reel in here in December?
Well, Ty Robinson, of course, and you know, that Scott Frost is one of those guys that's a cocky SOB. And what he did this week in a couple of places where, you know, they're in a heck of a battle. One, they've secured Robinson, but bring the whole band down to take a picture with him, you know, kind of to troll the Kentucky staff who had their picture of when they were celebrating when Robinson initially said yes to Nebraska. And then go to Florida and take the whole staff to visit Lloyd Summerall and his dad, because his dad, you know, of course, in uniform comes with him. Hopefully people have seen the picture on their visit to Florida where dad dressed in a Florida Gator uniform as well. But then you go to Ty Robinson after Saban had gone in there, and Frost is not backing down. And when he identifies something that he wants, he's going to go after it until that kid tells him no. I think one thing that sums up this recruiting class is it's been really quiet. You haven't had a lot of drama here in the last couple of weeks. It doesn't seem like Nebraska's scrambling. Nebraska's identified their targets. They've got who they wanted originally. And then they're just trying to shore up and grab that last commitment, but it doesn't seem like it's all over the place. It's a pretty organized plan, which I think you're going to see moving forward, which bodes well for Nebraska. So they know what they want, they go get it early, and then they fill in spaces here and there. I think if I had to have a mock draft, guys, off this class when it's signed, sealed, and delivered beginning on Wednesday, my number one pick, and trust me, Wandale Robinson is the real deal, but my number one pick is Jackson Hanna, the linebacker out of Nashville. Mm. I think that's a two for Nebraska to get him early out of that part of the country. Man, I can't wait for him to get to Nebraska because I think he's the best player in this class right now.
You know, Gary, they're going to need him this year too. I mean, if you just look at middle linebacker, and for comparison's sake, body type-wise, he reminds me of Trevor Roach. He reminds me of John Hess,
yep.
Right? Like he's just tall. He's just
the Nashville assassin.
He's bigger than most dudes. He's got range. God, he's super physical. Couldn't agree more. I think another guy that has a chance just because of where Nebraska is at and what they have to replace, it'd be pushing it. I would not rule out Bryce Benhart from making a wave this coming year. His frame's already pretty good. His strength is already pretty good. He's a wrestler. 6'9", 305. You could maybe slide Farniok down. Do you expect him? I think out of all the offensive linemen they brought in a long time, he just strikes me as the first kind of like, you know what? That dude could really play early.
Yeah, and he's a guy to see where they play him and what they tell him. Because if he is what you think he is, Mark, and I tend to agree with you, then what do they do with Farniok at right tackle? They slide him inside where, you know, we've wondered what would he be like playing inside. But do they trust a true freshman out of that tackle spot? But he's kind of one of those key guys on the offensive line. Of course, we don't know about Desmond Bland and what's going on there. That was a guy that was going to come in and be slated as your center. That might be nil now. But I think they've, for the most part, they filled their needs. If they get Ty Robinson, I think that's a crowning thing on this recruiting class for the early signing period. And then they can go and pick and choose with the 4 to 5 they have left. Or maybe, you know, of course, have more with some attrition here the next week.
Sharpie, have a good call tonight, bud, with UNO, and always appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the bowl games today. It's crazy that 5 bowl games start today.
I know. Yeah,
Cranex got the confidence picks going already.
Man. Wait. With that said, what is your 40?
Well,
you're 39 or 40.
Different strategy this year, Gary. I'm just backloading it. So I'm essentially just going, the early games are all kind of the ones, twos, threes, fours, and then all the ones that matter at the end. I just, you know, because that just, it feels like it gives you a puncher's chance all the way through the end of the season. So I don't know. I like Georgia smoking Texas. Like smoke in Texas. That's way up there. I'm trying to think of one other. I mean, that's the one that stands out the most.
I like Ohio State. They might win just by a point, but they're not letting Urban Meyer lose his last game.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Good point. Yeah, I got that up there too.
Sharpie, take care, brother. We'll check in next week.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary Sharp with us, Sale Varsity Radio. A reminder to you, the sale that's unlike any other sale they've had. Sauter Heyman, once-in-a-lifetime deals. The 70% off on top-quality jewelry continues. The most prestigious jeweler in the area. And the total inventory liquidation sale at Sauter Heyman. Don't wait for best selection. It's time to get mama something new and sparkly. And Sauter Heyman can help. South Point location and Grand Island location only. And while you're there, say hi to Rick. Santa Rick, he's the one in the red hat, can sign up and win a free $5,000 one-carat diamond pendant. Get there today. SauterHeyman.com. 70% off top-quality jewelry. The Sauter Heyman Total Inventory Liquidation Sale going on this holiday season for you. A quick timeout. We'll say goodbye to a Saturday next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time and miss this show, we're sorry for you. HailVarsity.com or iTunes, where you go for the podcast. And full coverage with Hail Varsity on signing day 2019, video and an extended radio show. Jay Moore going to be a part of it. All the great folks at Hail Varsity. Don't forget to log on HailVarsity.com and get caught up with Jacob Padilla and Derek Peterson. Their coverage live in Minneapolis and also in Sioux Falls. Colton, what do you got going this weekend? What are you doing?
I'm back at the Journal Star tonight. Loaded up.
You sound excited about that.
Well, I'm filling in just because it's going to be crazy between volleyball and preps. And
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Other than that, just school's done.
Your finals knocked out?
Yep.
You smiling about them?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'm glad. I have one semester left, God willing.
So, did you ever think you'd hear a story about Kranach putting together a ringer volleyball team and dating a national champion?
After hearing his bowl scheme, yeah, now I believe it. So,
hey, thank you. It's the way to do it. If you want to enjoy these crappy games. Well, and here's the other thing. If you throw in a 30-point confidence pick on one of these early, you know, Toledo versus whoever, because then you're forced to watch that crap. So you just do, you know, the early crap games, you assign a low number of confidence points, so you don't have to worry about them so much. But then when it heats up, you know, starting basically around the Holiday Bowl, it's kind of when things start getting
real.
That's
good, yeah. We'll have all the bowl coverage for you. NFL action today. Cleveland and the Donkeys tonight. Who's this afternoon? Somebody.
Some teams. Niles Paul got waived.
Yeah, but Niles is doing all right for himself. All right, back at you on Monday, 4 o'clock with Hail Varsity. Thanks to Colton Kranach, Chris Schmidt. Back at you on 4 on Monday. Thanks.